Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as always as we continue to investigate lies in the textbooks. We have taught our children in our textbooks a very important piece of information about prophets, about the teachers of the Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And it is a very simple statement. The statement said,
in the textbook World Geography, published by McDougall Little, copyright 2005, on page 75, the religion, Islam, has close ties to the prophets and teachers of Judaism and Christianity.
In simple words, we're telling our student that the prophets of the Bible are the same prophets of the Quran. There's so much similarity between Islam and Christianity and Judaism. We literally worship the same God. We are lying to our children through our public schools to infiltrate them to accept Islam to be another godly religion. After all, there is so much ties among the prophets of Islam and Christianity and Judaism. I'm sorry. This is a lie from the bottom of hell. And this lie must be removed from our textbooks. As I said earlier, I will repeat again. If Muslim would like to teach Islam, I have no problem. But don't lie to our innocent children. Don't make them believe in something is not true to be true. For as we have seen already, not creation, not the story of Adam and Eve, not the story of Noah and the flood, and today we will see not the story of Abraham and every other story in the Quran. All these stories is a great evidence that there is no ties whatsoever between Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Yes, the name Abraham is used in both books, the Bible and the Quran, but Abraham of the Quran have nothing to do with Abraham of the Bible. As a matter of fact, if we study the story of Prophet Abraham in the Quran, we will come to the opposite conclusion that the Quran is a dumb counterfeit to the account of Abraham in the Bible. And to prove my point to you, let us investigate the story of this prophet Abraham in the Quran. Let's start by asking the question, how did Muslim relate to Abraham? Most people, even Christian, will answer this question by saying that Muslim Arabs are the descendant of Ishmael, the son of Abraham, from his concubine Hagar, the Egyptian. But is this true? Is Ishmael the father of all the Arab people? If we look in the book of Genesis chapter 25, we will see the answer very clearly. It is written there that Abraham took another wife by the name Keturah after the death of Sarah. And from Keturah he begot children and grandchildren. And these are the Arab ancestry. I wrote about that in my new book in details, where I show you the ties between the children of Keturah and Arab countries and the Arab people. And we also see where these descendants of Keturah lived. That is a great evidence that Abraham's children from Keturah are the Arabs. But in the same time, the Bible was not silent about Ishmael and his sons. For Ishmael begot 12 sons. And the Bible tells us where also the descendant of Ishmael lived, far away from the Arab country. The Ishmaelites have nothing to do with the Arab. You can read about that in depth, in more details, in my new book, Exposing the Truth About the Quran, The Revelation of Error. One of these errors we read about in the Quran is Muhammad declared he was not a Jew nor a Christian, but he was a Hanifan, a word without any meaning. And then Muhammad adds that he was a Muslim. For we read in Quran chapter 3, verse 67, Abraham was not a Jew nor a Christian, but he was Hanifan, a Muslim, and he was not of the polytheist. I don't really know why Muhammad said that Abraham was not a Christian, for there is not one Christian believe that Abraham was a Christian. But the fact is, the Bible teaches he is the father of all the Jews. He actually is the first one to believe in the God of the Jewish faith. As Jewish always declare, they believe in the God of their fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That is the relationship between Abraham and Judaism. Abraham was never a Muslim. I know that the Quran teaches that all prophets are Muslims. Some Muslims claim prophets are Muslim because they surrender to Allah, but others said, no, they are Muslims because they believe in Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. But that is not true. That is a lie. Muhammad is not a true prophet. Therefore, there is not even one prophet who ever believed in Muhammad to be a prophet. Although there is much information is missing about Abraham's life in the Quran, I will share with you some of the fabrication which Muhammad added to the story of Abraham in the Quran. For example, the fairy tale of the story of throwing Abraham into the fire. And this fabricated story in the Quran is a result of a misunderstanding of one word as it was translated erroneously, the word Ur, which really means city. Because in Genesis chapter 15 verse 7, it was interpreted by the Jewish interpreter Jonathan, son of Azriel. Jonathan translated the word as light into the Chaldeans language as, I am the Lord who got you out from the light of the fire of the Chaldeans, instead of saying the city of Chaldeans. For the true translation to this verse is, then he, that is God, said to him, that is Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, the city of Chaldeans, to give you this land to inherit it. Now notice, in the story of the Quran, Muhammad declared in Quran chapter 37, verses 83 to 98, the story is written there about Abraham breaking the statue idol gods of his father and his people. For we read in the Quran, and surely of his sect was Abraham, when he came to his Lord with a sound heart, when he said to his father and his people, what are you serving? Do you desire false gods without Allah? So what do you think of the Lord of the world? So he looked carefully at the stars. So he said, surely I am sick. So they turned their backs from him. Then he turned to their God. So he said, will you not eat? Why can you not talk? So he fell on them, striking them with the right hand. Meaning, Abraham destroyed all these gods, breaks them to pieces. So they came to him in haste, that is, the people of his father. He said, do you serve what you carve? And Allah created you and what you do? They said, build a building for him. So they threw him into the hell. So they desired to scheme against him. So we made them the lowest. And he, that's Abraham, said, surely I am going to my Lord. He will guide me. The story here is obviously made up by Muhammad. And Muhammad confused it with another story we know about from the Bible. It's actually the story of Gideon, which we'll read about in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 22 to 32. For we know for sure it was Gideon, not Abraham, who destroyed the altar of his father. For Abraham never destroyed any idols. And Abraham was never thrown into a fire. It's amazing when you read the interpretation of Muslim scholars to this made-up story by Muhammad of how Abraham was in this fire for 40 days. And his mother called on him, oh Abraham, will you call on your Lord that I may come and visit you? And he said, yes. Then his mother went to visit with him in the fire. As for his father's reaction to what took place, because all the people saw Abraham in the fire, and he was in good condition. He was not hurting. He was not in pain. So his father said, "Blessed is the Lord, your Lord, O Abraham." And so much fabrication, so much fairy tales is given by Muslim scholars to the story of Abraham being thrown into the fire, as if they were themselves there, seeing everything about Abraham. But is that a true story? Or this is a fabrication made up by Muhammad and his wonderful Muslim scholars?
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
None of this fairy tale exists in the Bible, for we read in the Bible that God called Abraham and he asked him to leave his people, to leave his land, and to go to the land of Canaan, which God promised to give to Abraham and to his descendants. And Abraham believed in God. Let's read together what took place during this trip of Abraham traveling from Iraq to Israel. For we read in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, beginning with verse 31. And Terah, that is Abraham's father, took Abram, his son, that is Abraham, before God, changed his name. And Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son. And Sarai, that is Sarah, before God, changed her name. His daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. In verse 32, the Bible said, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. That is the true story about Abraham's relationship with his father and his nephew Lot. They were all traveling from Iraq to the land of Canaan, which is the promised land. And on their way, they stop at Haran, and that's where Abraham's father died. No such a thing in the Bible about Abraham destroying the idols of his father. And his father did not die as an infidel, as Allah stated in the Quran. For his father will not be traveling with his son to leave their family and their land to go to a strange land if there was not obedience to the call of God on Abraham and those who travel with him. No such a thing about the fire of Abraham. I believe that's a great miracle. If there is any truth in such a miracle that Abraham will be thrown to the fire for 40 days and his father seeing him and all the people seeing him in the fire and then he came out of the fire alive. If this is true, most likely all the people, including Abraham's father, will believe in Allah. But that is not what is written in the Quran. Another fairy tale story is written about Abraham in the Quran, can be found in Quran chapter 2, and verse 258, for we read, "Have you not seen him who disputed with Abraham about his Lord, that Allah had given him the kingdom? When Abraham said, 'My Lord is he who gives life and causes death,' he," that is the king, "said, 'I give life and cause death.' Abraham said, 'So surely Allah brings the sun from the east, so bring it from the west.' So the infidel was confounded, and Allah will not guide the unjust people." The verse does not say too much, but a conversation between Abraham and some infidel. But the interpretation of Muslim scholars will blow your mind, for they will tell you that this infidel was the Egyptian king Nimrod, and according to the Bible and to the Egyptian history, that is a lie. And Muslim scholars will say that this is the king whom Abraham met with during the famine when he went to Egypt. But this king refused to give Abraham any food, so Abraham filled two bags with dirt from Egypt, and he took them home. For Abraham refused to go home with empty hands. Abraham slept, and when he woke up, surprise, surprise, there was a nice meal cooked by his wife Sarah. And he asked her, "Where did you get this food from?" She said, "It is from the bags which you brought home." And this is a miracle, for here we see Allah change the dirt to good food. Then we read the rest of the fabrication of Muslim scholars when they said, after this king refused to believe in Allah, the God of Abraham, Allah sent to him a newer, strong king, order him to believe in Allah, but he refused. Then this king asked him again to believe in Allah, and he refused. And he asked him the third time to believe in Allah, and he still refused. Then this king told Nimrod and all his army, "You gather your army, I will gather my army, and we will both have a war tomorrow as the sun rises." So Allah sent on the Egyptian king Nimrod and his people huge number of flies, to the point he could not see the sun's light. And this fly ate the flesh and the blood of all the Egyptians' armies, and they left them just bones in the wilderness. One of these flies went inside the nostrils of the Egyptian king Nimrod, and this fly stayed inside the king's nose for 400 years. Can you imagine if we tell this fairy tale to our children in our public schools? They will have a laugh over it. They will never believe in Abraham or Allah, the God of Abraham, or Muhammad, the prophet of Allah. Why? Because it is nothing but a foolish fairy tale written by great Muslim scholars, Ibn Kathir. You can read the story in Ibn Kathir's book, The Beginning and the End, Volume 1, page 173. This king continued to strike his head 400 years until Allah caused him to die. What a wonderful fairy tale. How about the story of the sacrificed son? Muslims claim that the Bible has been corrupted because it used to say that Allah asked Abraham to sacrifice Ishmael, but now it said to sacrifice Isaac. But when you read the Quran in chapter 37, beginning from verse 99, you will never see any mentioning of this son name whom Abraham offered as a sacrifice. As a matter of fact, in the end of the story in the Quran, we read that Allah said in verse 112, "And we gave him the good news of Isaac, a prophet among the good." That is the only name mentioned in the story of the sacrificial son in the Quran. As for the true account in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, we read in verse 2, "Then he said," that is God, "take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." As for the details of the entire life of Abraham, as it is written erroneously in the Quran, compared to the true account of Genesis, we cover the entire story in details in our new book, Exposing the Truth About the Quran, The Revelations of Errors. So what do we learn from the writings of the Quran concerning Prophet Abraham. It's very simple. There are two different Abraham. The Abraham of Muhammad, the Abraham of the Quran, which is nothing but fairy tales. And the second is Abraham of the Bible, which is the true account, the logical story. So we cannot, with sincere heart, teach our children that there are close ties of the prophets and teachers of Judaism and Christianity and Islam. Why? Because in simple words, none of the prophets of the Quran have the same account like we do have in the Bible. The Quran is a dumb counterfeit of the Bible. And instead of teaching this lie to brainwash our children in our public schools, to make them believe that Islam, Christianity, and Judaism are three equal religions with the same God, and instead of teaching our children that there are close ties of the prophets and the teachers of Judaism and Christianity and Islam, we must teach the truth that the opposite is true. We must teach our children the truth, which is Muhammad Quran contain many of the stories of the prophets and the teachers of the Bible, but they are in very corrupt form, and that there is no ties whatsoever between the prophets and the teachers of the Quran and the Bible. To learn more about lies in our textbooks, please join us again for the next podcast as we investigate the story of Prophet Moses in the Quran compared to the Bible. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.